Good morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I invite you to pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Dear God, may your preached word today cause someone to know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have to bring it down before I take it up because y'all had waiting. Waiting is not something most of us enjoy doing. I heard a joke the other day about an automated machine, answering machine, and it went something like this. We appreciated your patience, but we are experiencing an unusual high volume of calls. If longevity is in your family, please stay on the line, and the next operator will be with you momentarily. Waiting. Have you ever considered how much time we spend waiting? The Numbers Facts website estimates that we spend 60 months, 1,825 days of our life just waiting. The events of the resurrection sits at the very heart of the Christian faith. And I believe the resurrection can teach us how we can survive even in the time when we have to wait. The resurrection can teach us how we can thrive even in those times when we have to wait. Friday, aka Good Friday, was the day Jesus took it all upon himself, took it all on the cross. Friday was, is, and will always be one of the gloomiest days in human history. Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection, the day that we celebrate today at this moment, is the most incredible, glorious, earth-shaking, category-breaking, heart-filling, joy-filled day since the beginning of time, resurrection. Friday is the day of pain, and Sunday is the day of joy. But what about Saturday? Have you ever thought about Saturday? That day in between. Saturday is the day without a name. John Ortberg calls Saturday the day after this, but the day before that. The day after this, but the day before that. The day after we pray, but the day before the prayer is answered. The day after we take that exam, but the day before the grade is posted. The day after the physical lab work is done, but the day before we receive the results. The day after the audition, but the day before you get the call back. The day after you fill out the mortgage papers, but the day before the loan is granted. It's the day in between despair and joy. The day in between brokenness and healing. The day in between confusion and understanding. The day in between fear and hope. The day in between life and death. Saturday is the day God appears to be silent. But our lives are filled with and clamored with confusion. After turmoil of Thursday and the fury of Friday, the crowd that had gathered in celebration had been stirred up into a mob. And that same crowd that a week earlier had cried, "Hosanna in the highest," was now crying, "Crucify him." They had dispersed in regret and resignation. The religious leaders Jesus had put on blast were secretly satisfied, and they were confident that they had finally silenced this radical person that's called Jesus, this revolutionary from Nazareth. The political leaders were content with the outcome. Pilate, his Gallup poll approval rating soared to the top. Herod, with some help from his wife, had successfully washed her hands of the entire fiasco and had even dispatched her PR person to spin the resurrection of Jesus to make it seem as though the dead body of Jesus was stolen by the disciples. The four gospel writer gives us the precise details of this event on Friday. They give us the detail of this event from the disciples' perspective. And on Sunday, nothing is said about what happened on Saturday. We're left to speculate. We're left to investigate. And we're told that Judas died on Friday. Whether his death was at his own hands or, as Matthew records, the result of a fall. We're told that Thomas, devastated by the sadness of losing his hero to whom he had pledged his energy, life's willingness and strength, he isolated himself. Judas committed suicide. Thomas went in seclusion. John, following the instructions of Jesus from the cross, he probably helping Mary through the murky waters and the fog of the death of her child and the grief of this love that is lost and left behind. Peter was probably too ashamed to be in public on Saturday after he had repeatedly denied Jesus on Friday. On two occasions, Peter denied even knowing Jesus, and on another occasion, scripture records him cursing, even cussing. He didn't just say no, he said heck. He said heck no. I'm not with Jesus. The remaining disciples perhaps found comfort by secretly gathering somewhere to remember the many lessons that Jesus had taught them. We cannot say what happened on Saturday, but I would venture to speculate that they felt helpless. Can you imagine the deep sense of failure that dampened their dialogue? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine them just being frozen in their tracks? We should have done more. We should have said something. We should have stood by his side. How could we have missed Judas being the betrayer? How could we have missed his intentions? I knew there was something strange about him. That bizarre kiss in the garden. If only we had stood together, maybe Jesus would still be alive. They must have felt helpless. But I would imagine they also felt hopeless on Saturday. We're not told that any of the disciples verbalized it, but being human, they must have wondered, did Jesus fail? The evidence of a failed mission appeared overwhelming on Saturday. Jesus had taught them to be meek, and he had taught them to be humble. He had taught them to love their enemies, to pray for those who use them, and to bless those who curse them. But look at what it got him. A cold slab in a borrowed tomb. They had been so secure and so sure that he was the one. Was Thomas the only one who really doubted? Probably not. This is precisely why we say in our welcome statement that we invite even those who have doubts to join us in worship. We all have doubts. Friday was the day of pain. Friday was the day of suffering. Friday was the day of agony. Sunday would be the day of joy, the day of celebration, the day of victory. But Saturday was the day of waiting. It was a day of grief. It was a day of confusion, of misery. Saturday is the day after our best dreams die. Saturday is the day that we wake up and all hell has broken loose. Saturday is the day when we have to pick up the pieces and go on with our life. Saturday is the day we're not quite sure how we're going to make it. Saturday is the day we have to battle helplessness and hopelessness. Saturday is the day we have to do nothing but wait. Wait. I wonder if there's anybody here who knows what I'm talking about. I wonder if there's anybody on Zoom who knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in a spot where you have felt hopeless? Have you ever been in a spot where you have felt helpless? Has life ever led you into an experience when all you could do is wait? Why is there even a Saturday, you may ask? I ask the same question. Since God clearly has the power to raise Jesus from the dead on Sunday, why didn't he just spare? Why didn't God just spare everyone this grief of wondering, of doubting, of suspense, of waiting by having Jesus die on Friday afternoon and then raising Jesus from the dead Friday night? Why didn't God do that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul shed some light on the significance of the 3 days. And Paul says, I deliver to you what I received. Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture, and he was raised from the dead on the 3rd day according to the scripture. Why 3 days? It was according to the scripture. That's what Paul said. And when Jesus needed a metaphor to paint the most pivotal moment in human history, he pointed to Scripture. And Scripture tells us the story of Jesus is a 3rd day story. On the 3rd day, God reconciles the books. On the 3rd day, God settles the accounts. On the 3rd day, God rectifies the wrongs. On the 3rd day, it's a 3rd day story. And every one of us listening today need a 3rd day story. The 1st day is the bad news. The 2nd day, you wait in confusion, you wait in doubt, you wait in misery. But if we can hold out until the 3rd day, deliverance, clarity, joy, victory will break out. All of us need a 3rd day story. Why 3 days? It's according to scripture. And it is accurate to picture of our life today. It's an accurate picture of your life and my life in a world of instant gratification, waiting for Sunday after you've gone through Friday can be challenging. Have I got a witness out there? Thank you. I'm doing the best I can. The test of living in a Saturday kind of world is a problem. The test of living in a Saturday kind of world with troubles and stresses and suffering and sorrows are very much present with us. And there is much we can do. There isn't much that we can do on most occasions to alleviate it and sometimes even avoid it. We can't avoid a Saturday experience. The scripture, however, promises and affirms, and I believe that one of these days God will intervene and change things. But in the meantime, we have to press on. We have to press on through our doubts. We have to press on through our agony. We have to press on through our uncertainties, our fear, and wait. While never being certain when Sunday will come, the disciples muddled through Saturday's misery and knowing that God had a purpose in Friday's pain and God had a plan beyond Saturday. And they thought it was all over. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes on Saturdays, in the Saturdays of our lives, we don't know when our Sunday will come. I should have an amen right about there. In Jerusalem on Friday, Jesus bore the sins and suffered the sorrows. In Jerusalem on Saturday, the disciples huddled in fear and shame and waiting in anguish, not knowing on Saturday. Heaven was silent. As the disciples were struggling with indecision, as they were struggling with hesitation, as they were struggling with uncertainty and insecurity. And that's an accurate picture of my life, and it may even show something about your life. We sometimes struggle with doubts. We sometimes struggle with fear. We sometimes struggle with anxiety and uncertainty. I know you're wondering who told me about you, but that's what happens to us. The hopeless, the helpless, the bitter feelings of failure and the broken dreams come on the in-between day. And if we live long enough, we have either been there, we are either there right now, or we're heading there. So today, I just want to leave you with some things that I want to recommend that you do when you come to your Saturdays. When your dreams on Friday dies and you can't see Sunday down the road, I want to recommend, number one, that you don't give up hope. Somebody say that with me. Don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope.
You see, when Jesus died, some people gave up hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, be steadfast. Don't give up hope. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Most people give up hope and concede defeat on Saturday. Hopelessness is an option, but hopelessness is not the only option. There is a better option. The promise of Sunday doesn't erase Friday, but it enables us to endure our Fridays and to manage our Saturdays, no matter how tough Saturday might be. Because even on the Friday of our lives, when the pain is deep, when the pain is extended, we don't have to give up hope, because there is another option. You say, what is the option, Kenneth? When we encounter Saturdays in our lives, we can cling to the promise of God that all of our suffering, all of our pain, all of our trouble have an expiration date. I just said something right there. The expiration date has already been stamped on our problem, stamped on our pain, stamped on our anxiety, stamped on our sickness, stamped on our failures. All of our problems have an expiration date. If you're listening on Zoom, type amen in the chat. Trouble don't last always, but we will, because God is focused on where we have been. And God is focused on where we're going. You see, God's promises are always about our potential. God's promises are always about our potential and not about our past. When God sees you and me, God not only considers the problems and the pain we're in, but God sees the potential and the probability of using that pain to bring us closer to God. You might feel broken, but God calls you blessed. You might feel sick, but God calls you healed. You might feel wounded, but God calls you whole. You might feel down, but God sees you getting up. You might feel rejected, but in God, you have been selected for an abundant life that leads to eternal life. It's all about potential. Preach, Kenneth. I'm doing the best I can. And so God makes a promise to us, because God knows what is in us that has not yet come out of us. There's a whole lot in you that yet to come out. Wherever you are, whatever you do, don't die with the potential still inside of you. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't die with your potential inside of you. They didn't believe you, so turn to somebody else and tell them, don't die with your potential inside of you. Don't let what people say stop you from becoming all that God wants you to be. People will say anything. People will talk about you unjustly, unfairly, untruthfully, unkind. You. People will say you're sick when you know you're well. People will say you're broke when you know you got money. People say you're doing drugs when you know you're not doing that. People will say you're ugly when you know you look good. So what do you do when your dream dies on Friday? Don't give up, number one. Don't give up hope. And secondly, you have to learn to wait. You have to learn to wait. You see, there are some times in life and some things about life that you and I can't do anything but wait. We have to learn this truth at the deep level of our being. We don't survive personal faith without it. Part of the core curriculum of the path of spiritual development is a course called Patience 101. So we have to learn to wait on God. And in waiting, we will have doubts. In waiting, we will wrestle with the uncertainties and the fears. In waiting, we will go through challenges. But while we are wrestling, God is working. While we are wrestling, God is working. While we are wrestling, God is working. And since God's got our back, there's nothing that anyone can do. You can face it. You can handle it. You can get through it. Because Sunday will come. So, number one, don't give up hope. Number two, learn how to wait. And the third thing I want to recommend you do when you hit your Saturday is go to work. y'all want to leave on this one. Go to work. Don't give up hope. Learn how to wait on God. And while you're waiting, go to work. Sunday, the women came to embalm the dead hero, but they were met instead by a living hope. Go to work. On Sunday, after the earthquake shook the tomb, after the stone was rolled away, they shared an angelic conversation and discovered that God had raised Jesus from the dead. They came to dress the Friday fear. They came to dress the Saturday sadness, but they were met with Sunday surprise. Go to work. Don't be afraid. He's not here, they said. He has risen. Come on, Ted. He's risen indeed. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he ain't here. If I had the time, I'd really preach that sermon, because we look for God in places where God isn't. We're looking for God in dead places. We're looking for God in hopeless places. We're looking for God where he's not. Lord, he ain't here. The angel said to the Galilean, in other words, the Lord is no longer on the cross. The Lord is no longer in the tomb. God is doing a new thing. And maybe that's the reason why many Christian churches are dying, because we try to capture God in a single experience. We try to capture God in a single way. You have to speak in these tongues. You have to say this liturgy. You have to pray this way. You have to read from the King James Version only. You have to do this, and you have to pray a particular way. We have to kneel a particular way. We have to hold our hands a particular way. And because that prayer got answered, we believe we always have to do it that same way all the time. We have to go back to the same place all the time, but God is doing something different. That's just religion. That's not relationship. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. And so we've got to let go of the old so we can grow. We've got to stop looking in the graveyards. We've got to stop looking in the dead places of our lives and find a new living experience. Go to work. The text says when they went to Galilee, and I'm almost done, They saw Jesus alive, and they worshiped him. And whenever we are delivered from the Friday pain, whenever we're transported through the worry of Saturday, and we land on the deliverance of Sunday, a correct response should be to worship God. Church is not a show. Church is not entertainment. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about gathering together to worship the creator of the universe. It's about an encounter with God. That's what church is about. I preach the way I preach, not for a response, but because long before I stood up here, I have already had an experience with God. Not just with the text, but with the God of the text. So when I get here, whether you holler or shout, whether you say amen, whether you jump up and down, whether you wave your hands, I'm still going to have church. Still going to have church. I'm still going to have worship, not because I'm all that, but because we serve a God who's all that. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you should praise God on a Sunday. Number one, God woke you up this morning. Number two, God woke you up this morning. Number three, God woke you up this morning. Number four, come on, God woke you up this morning. Number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number nine, number 10. And because of that, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. One more time. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me. Jesus, I'll never forget. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. You brought me out. Jesus, I'll never. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. The difference a day makes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that word.